aloha. Welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time podcast. Look at me. It's such a beautiful day in Seattle that I have to say things like aloha, apparently. It's our weekly look at the Seattle Sounders FC and a whole lot of other unnecessary things to talk about. And MLS. There we go. We're your hosts. I'm from Mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor. Hi there. He's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and working the stats booth at Lumen Field and making funny faces from the sidelines, sometimes doing social media for the Sounders. He's Sexy Skankin' Brandon, now with proof.
I found a video from my brother's wedding last summer of me skanking. So
I couldn't help it. The only thing I could look at was your brother, Steven, doing the East Indian head bob,
in the
side. He's like having such a good time. It was probably his wedding, to be fair.
It was his wedding, yeah.
Yeah. And so,
if you watch that video enough times, like, you just notice something else, because it's only a short video. It's only a few seconds long, and every time you watch it, you just notice something else. So, like, first you notice Steven's little head bob thing that he's got going on, and then you, like, watch again, and you see my other brother that's got the crazy dreadlocks just bebopping in the background. And then you see just every single time, you just see something new. So it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, the poop swap in the background was pretty weird, but, like, that's our other pod. Listen to Gregor's Nerd Talk Plus now, wherever you get your podcasts. I actually do want to encourage people to do that. We should add it to our list of links that we have.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole other 45 minutes every week that we do dedicated to being ridiculous about nerd stuff. So it's just like this, only talking about whale dicks and stuff like that. I mean,
which we've talked about on this show too.
So it's just like this.
Yeah. So it's exactly like this. It's just
without the soccer,
less soccer and more us pretending like we know anything.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's cool. Hey, if you could do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts, give us a rating.
Definitely 5 stars.
Or 69, but primarily leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
Yeah, from Yamar Gomez to Hercules Gomez, whose birthday it is today, actually.
Hey, happy birthday, Herc. Yeah. That's cool. I listened to him on the Men in Blazers podcast the other day before the CONCACAF stuff.
Yeah.
Qualifying for the thing. And he was like, I like that he, like, burns on U.S. soccer a lot. That's pretty cool. He's not a team player for it, even though he was literally
a team player for it.
Yeah. All right, this week we won on the road. Sounders FC take on the... No, wait, that was the last match. This isn't MLS. This week, the Sounders beat New York City at home. Now they have to beat them on the road for both teams.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
That's good. Hey, visit us at full90podcast.com to get all our links, including to our spicy OnlyFans action. Hey, did that drop off? Did OnlyFans, is that, like, not a thing anymore? I don't see it nearly as much.
I think it's definitely still a thing. I hear. No, it's definitely still a thing.
You can definitely find pictures of my wiener on there. Let me tell you.
Take it from me. It's definitely still a thing.
No, but seriously, me so I can have new content. Yeah.
I pay those orca penis dollars, buddy. Orca fans.
So hop on to our website, full90podcast.com.
Full90podcast.com or majorleaguesoccer.com.
Yeah. that's up for renewal. So
yeah, are we going to keep that one?
Yeah, I mean, I have $80 to my name for a week, but I should definitely pay $12 to keep that going, right?
Yeah, I'm sure your wife will understand.
Oh, she has her own money. She's smart. She's like, there's Lori money and Gregor money, and they are separate things.
I feel like we need to bring Lori money onto the podcast, though, because I saw today that she texted you about her favorite thing about Dick the Hall Ball.
Dick the Hole Ball?
Dick the Hole Ball.
Voice to text malfunction. Find it on my Instagram at HeyGregor. You make a good point. Maybe we could get some of that Lori money going, because... Like, you just sent me a picture of Ballard FC and their badass new kit that their secondary kit, which is, like, basically the sun setting over Ballard, sponsored by Rubens.
Yeah.
If you could just make Rubens Brewing, if you could just make that into a shirt, that's what you got. So maybe we get, like, Auto Text by Lori as our sponsor for this, and we run ads for her.
We got to get those turd nerds. If New York City FC can have dude wipes, then
100%.
The sound, actually, so we've talked on this show before about how we, Spokane, where I live, is getting a USL 2 team, I believe. Okay, so you're already playing in the number 2 division. Go and get the Turd Nerds, which is a local plumbing company. go and get the Turd Nerds to be your kit sponsor.
Absolutely. Then you play against Ballard FC, and they've got the they've got like a cool badass like brewery, and then you've got a unpoop your drain.
Yeah, like, yeah. No, what was it? It was like the duty drain.
Yeah. Oh,
if you've got a duty drain, call the Turd Nerds.
My God.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hey, good for Ballard FC. They're the best. That's super cool, and I'm happy for Lamar Nagel, their head coach, and whatever his role is, I can't remember, but
yeah.
Pretty badass. So yeah, we'll get some like auto correct or voice to text by Lori sponsorship for the show. Maybe run a commercial at some point.
Gotta get that Lori money.
Oh, man, I can only imagine how embarrassed she would be if I made her record a commercial for it. It would be incredible.
I want to get Lori saying hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
Oh, yeah. That shouldn't be possible.
Are you kidding me? I have to pay her with Gregor money, and the conversion rate to Lori money is basically half a new who.
How many skincare products will this buy me? Not even one? You gotta get out of here.
Yeah. Stop spending money on stuff that you're just going to send to Brandon ultimately anyway.
Yeah. Yes. So anyway, last night, big result, the Cup of CONCACAF Champions League, a 3-1, was it semi or quarterfinal?
Semifinal. The winner of this two-legged affair, which is one less legs than my dog has, goes to one fewer legs, I suppose.
It doesn't matter.
Goes to the CONCACAF, Cup of CONCACAF Cup final. So pretty big deal for two American teams to compete to see who gets to lose to a Mexican team in the final.
That's amazing. I'm just looking up. Do you know who's in the other semis?
Yeah, it's Pumas versus another team from Mexico.
Kitsap Pumas? Or
yeah, it's
that
the
far?
Kitsap Pumas are playing on the other side of the bracket. So no, it's Pumas and somebody else. It is Pumas versus another team that I'm still looking up.
So it looks like to me, like you watch that Sounders match, and I feel like either of the MLS squads, actually, if they played the way they did last night, I know that NYCFC couldn't get it done, but like they didn't look bad either. They just had some, like, let me just put it this way, you see the potential there. If they get a few passes together and they get Maxi Morales out there on the pitch, like, they're going to be trouble for any. No wonder they won MLS Cup. And boy, it was good to see Schmetzer congratulating whatever their coach's name is on beating Portland. I think
I feel like it's something that we know that Schmetz is as big of a fan as anybody as he is the coach of the team, right? Like,
yeah.
We know that he is born and raised in Seattle and loves this club and has been involved with the club since its inception, right? Since the 80s at least.
Yeah.
So to have somebody like him, I just think about like the revolving door that is a lot of coaching positions in a lot of other leagues in the world, and about how you get a coach in and coach out, and like, yay, now Antonio Conte is our coach again, but like, hey, he's in it because it's a job, and it means as much to his reputation as it does to this club's reputation, right?
Yeah, he's not out there supporting the club that's traditionally has roots to the Jewish community. That's not why he's doing it.
Right,
yeah,
and so like if you get like these coaches who come in and talk about how they understand the rivalry and, oh, this is a big game and blah, 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 it's not until you're like a Jurgen Klopp that's been in Liverpool for X amount of years where you fully start to understand the rivalry with Manchester United or something like that, right? Schmetzer feels this rivalry probably more than anybody else in the Sounders fandom, and goes up, takes a, like, from a professionalism standpoint, goes up to another head coach in this league. Imagine how weird it must be to be that other coach and be like, you're welcome, I guess. Like, yeah. Schmetzer goes up and says, thanks, that was awesome. We were all so excited for you guys. You have another head coach of a team coming up and saying like, hey, not congrats for winning, but thanks for winning. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's like such a fun like aspect of the fandom. That Schmetzer has to be able to like go up and put the coach aside and just be the fan for a second.
Yeah.
And also, it's like, cool, how'd you get your body in such good shape so that you could dance in your underwear after? Because I'm definitely trying to do that this year.
I want him to not get in shape and still do that.
just dad.
I want Sounders to win, and I want
Daddy Guns. Daddy Guns, yeah, Schmetz.
69. How about that? We've got to talk about the actual soccer here for a second. And yeah. It starts with that extra super speedy Jordan Morris, huh?
Man.
That shaved head. My God, I thought he could have. He could go full orca. He's and more... just jump, swim it up and then pounce out and tail whip it in. God.
Yeah, he's more aerodynamic. Maybe that's what the shaved head comes up to. So maybe he's more like a fin whale, which is the fastest whale of the cetacean species. They are called sometimes the greyhounds of the sea, the fin whale. So if Jordan Morris was a whale, this week's question of the week. If Jordan Morris was a whale, the answer is fin whale.
Yeah, there we go.
No, you know what? It's crazy because like we talked a little bit about him playing for the national team and about how he... you know, coming back from his second ACL tear, in when he was on loan in Swansea and coming back from that and just not looking himself. I don't feel like I've seen him really looking himself since he's been back. This match was the first time where I feel like I watched Jordan Morris be peak Jordan Morris, just running by guys. Like there was one, the first goal that Rusnak scored, he had an overlapping run down on the right where I was like, play that ball. And then he didn't play the ball. He took an extra touch and just scooped it into the path of Rusnak, who scored. And I was like, oh, right, yeah, you're paid to do this, and I'm terrible at FIFA, so that's why I would never be able to do that thing. But God, what a game. And plus, that hair just makes him look like immediately badass.
It's way more efficient. He's going for the Jason Statham or whatever, and it's working out for him, right? Yeah, this is... the first time that in a while now that you see kind of the full Sounders squad back together,
yeah,
with Lodeiro and Rui Diaz, and there's a guy outside your window, and I'm really weirded out by it. Whoa, he's gone.
That's Josh. Him and his guys are moving a bunch of drywall into my basement right now.
Oh, killer.
Yeah.
Anyway, you see the first time that the full squad is kind of back together, and boy, does it make a huge difference. But you've added this extra piece to it. This Rusnak is here, and that guy is supposed to. It was heralded as being like the biggest, you know, off-season free agency signing in the league, or whatever, maybe in the history of the league.
In the history of the league, yeah.
Yeah, and like he showed up, and he hasn't really done much, and suddenly you start building these pieces around him, and everyone kind of came together and lit up at the same time. Sounders spent the whole week really ramping up the hype around CONCACAF Champions League. And we talked about it before with Garth making it a priority. But the Sounders were really interested in getting a huge buzz about it, talking to almost all the media about it, and being able to really take advantage of building some hype and 30,000 people showing up. And it was like it was a lot of fun. But all that aside, you see these four, five like big names on the field at the same time. I'm talking Jordan Morris, Raul Rui Diaz, João Paulo, Nico Lodeiro, and now Rusnak. You put them all out there at the same time, and it's like that's a really formidable squad to the point where you mentioned it last week.
Yeah.
Where do they all fit in together?
It's funny because like the matches that we've seen so far where Rusnak and Lodeiro are on the field at the same time, it almost seems like you have two guys that want to play in the same spot, and so they're kind of taking away opportunities from each other. They didn't quite figure out how to gel. I think in this match, what you saw was them starting to finally figure out. Part of that is playing with Raul Rui Diaz up top, like actually having a central striker to take some of the focal points. So like what Rusnak can come on and do is like allow Lodeiro to play the traditional number 10 role and like quarterback passes left and right and not have to feel like he has to run around the pitch getting fouled in order to chase the game down, basically. Because that's what Lodeiro is known for, is just kind of hustle. Right? Like, he's like the opposite of what Freddy Montero was criticized for forever, which was not running, not tracking back, not defending. Lodeiro is all over the field. It's the reason that he, for the last few seasons, has been the most fouled player in MLS. It's because he is just putting himself in the position all the time to be fouled. And to try to get on the ball. With Rusnak there, you can alleviate some of that from him, and then you have Rui Diaz up front. This is the first game, I believe, that you've been able to get as much time out of those three guys while also having Jordan Morris, Christian Roldan, João Paulo, and being able to have all of those guys play together and see, like, yeah, they might not be sharp quite yet. They might not be 100% on each other's wavelength quite yet. However, you can see like kind of the tendrils of what's going to be hopefully one of the most, I don't know, insane, formidable attacks in this league in MLS right now. You just like New York City didn't know how to deal with it. They would try to watch Jordan Morris, but then you've got three other players.
Yeah.
Plus Christian Roldan that you have to deal with, right?
Yeah.
It just seems like they collapse around one and don't know what to do.
Yeah, and I didn't even mention the Roldans. Like, Christian Roldan, easily the most valuable player last night in terms of he was involved in everything, and his brother was the hockey assist king along with him. So it was like, yeah, the other teams trying to line up against Seattle, you're going to have to try and hope to beat them on formation problems. When Nuhu comes back also. Like, so now I feel like you're kind of like you're playing the five at the back is kind of dead because you've brought in Rusnak and he'll start to deliver hopefully now. And so we're, like at some point you see Rui Diaz playing out wide and trying to make something happen from the outside in, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
There's a lot of congestion up top. The Sounders are just going to have to be full offense kind of moving from here on out. It's crazy.
I mean, last year at the beginning of the season, and maybe this is where Jordan Morris is pulling some of his shaved head inspiration from, was at the beginning of the season, we had Brad Smith as the team's leading goal scorer with three goals in the first four matches or something like that. Jordan Morris said, I saw that bald guy and I won't go full bald, but he's got the American History X cut going.
God, that's called a skinhead, Brandon.
Yeah, he's gonna go curb stomp. I don't know, like Maxi Morales.
None of that is going to happen. We do not stand by that.
No, we don't stand by it. No, but that's
that
the
analysis.
That's the now the thing is that the Sounders got a lot of play out of their wingbacks in previous seasons, having Brad Bradsmith running up the left, having Alex Roldan or was it Jovan Jones, for instance, or some of those players at the wingback position, always wanting to get forward, always wanting to play and whip crosses in. So you play four at the back, and you still see some wing play from Alex Roldan last night. Like, just I wanted to make a mention of the fact that Alex Roldan and Christian Roldan playing together is like they're very on the same wavelength. Like they share a DNA, and it's watching them play together yesterday. They were flowing, and the chemistry between the two of them led to two of the goals, and I think ended up almost leading to a penalty where a guy got kicked in the nards. So,
man, that was brutal, dude. I was really actually honestly surprised to see the penalty given because the getting kicked in the nuts. You're talking about on the penalty, right?
On
Rui Diaz getting his beanbag knocked around a little bit.
Yeah.
I expected that since he fell and the ball was already gone and he lost possession. I was like, oh, that's going to be an off-ball foul and they're not going to give a penalty. It won't overturn it with the way that the ref's been letting it play. But then he called it, and I just couldn't believe that that's where we were at and that it happened.
I think once he went to the monitor, I was like, okay, he has to call it at this point. But I was surprised that he went to the monitor at all. The way that, what do you think about, like, we haven't even talked about the refereeing in this match. There was a time where it seemed like there was an obvious foul that a Sounders player committed on one side, and it ran to the other side, and then Christian Roldan, who had a decent attacking opportunity, this is kind of earlier in the game, was very obviously fouled, and then it almost seemed like they play advantage to where he was fouled again, but none of these fouls were called by the referee, and then some really soft foul happens on the other side of the field, and it gets called. Like it, I don't think the first yellow card came out until Jackson Reagan got one like in the 75th minute or something like that.
Yeah.
It seemed like there was just, I don't know. I don't want to bag on the refs too much because he gave that penalty, like made the big decision when he needed to. But I had a fear of that game. And the reason I'm saying it is because it brings me into how is the final against a Mexican team going to be refereed. I had a fear in that game that it was going to get out of control. Thankfully, the Sounders dominated, and there was not a lot of, I think, frustration there that things could really peak and kind of boil over the way that they can in a much closer game. But you go into a match against another CONCACAF side, not necessarily another MLS side. We know how those games can get. We know how Brad Evans, if he's on the field, can rile up a goalkeeper goalkeeper and or anybody else on the other team. So, you know, I don't know.
You heard it here first. Brad Evans to come out of retirement for CONCACAF. CONCACAF Cup final. I wonder what part of the reffing, how weird it must be. I don't know where that ref normally.
He's from Mexico. I don't know if that's where he referees. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not sure if he's a Liga MX or whatever. But the two MLS sides play to kind of an MLS standard, which is, you know, whatever that is, whatever that looks like. And so a ref that lets them play, they professionally didn't allow themselves to let it get out of control. I think both of them also have the regular season in mind, and it's like maybe you're not going to go as crazy. But you come up against a CONCACAF side, and you see how either they all become paper dolls and get flipped over with the smallest of sneezes or whatever, or they're out there leg-breaking tackles.
Kicked in the nuts.
Oh, my God. That's fascinating. I wonder how the reffing versus the league made a difference there.
Yeah, and I have that same thought because it did seem like a lot of fouls were kind of let go. It kind of seemed like there were a couple of dives where even the player that dove didn't get the call, but they got up and just kind of kept going on without any, you know, sort of protest or anything like that. And in those kinds of situations, I would have liked to see the referee like stop the game and be like, no, you obviously dove. I didn't call it for a reason, you know, like we've talked about that before. The referee in the Galaxy versus Sounders game a few weeks ago gave a yellow for that. Yeah. I don't know. I was more worried at some point that somebody was going to get a leg broken. And if Nuhu had been on the pitch, I think that he would have probably been the perpetrator.
Via bicycle kick. So I've got a big question about Raul Ruiz Diaz. He, to me, has not figured out his way back yet. He hasn't figured out where his place is in all of this, or his sharpness isn't there, or his match fitness. I know it's the first full or close to full game we see him play, but he's out there while some of the other guys. Jordan Morris is the star of this team right now. Yeah. And of course, Lodero puts in a shift, no doubt, and he's just coming back. And Rusnak hasn't quite figured out his role yet, but Jordan Morris all of a sudden is, you know, on fire here. He was the man of the match in Minnesota, despite his goal being an own goal that got called an own goal. And then the João Paulo banger was the literal definition of that.
Yeah,
but it's good to see Jordan Morris is kind of like the veteran talent out there right now that's got it firing. Do you worry, or like where are you at with Ruiz Diaz and his performance?
Remember last season, Ruiz Diaz was on track, at least for a while, to compete for the Golden Boot, to score the most goals in the league. He had something like 17 goals in the league. Then we go into the off season where there's a question about whether or not he's even going to stay with the Sounders, and whether or not they were going to let him walk and go. It looked like everybody thought he was going to go to a Liga MX team and go play in Mexico again, which is where the Sounders had signed him from. So then he gets injured, and we don't get to see a lot of him in the beginning parts of this season. And so I think that there's a lot of questions there just because of the fact that it seems like it's been a while since we watched Ruiz Diaz perform. Like even down the end of the stretch last season, he didn't really seem to continue the momentum that he had at the beginning and the middle of the season, right? Like he didn't win the Golden Boot. He kind of just stopped scoring as many goals. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to take time. I'm excited to see what he does as the tip of the spear of this attack with Rusnak and Jordan Morris, like a fully healthy Jordan Morris, Nico Lodero, who didn't play like half the season last season, right? Like being able to play in front of a fully functional and the Sounders' first choice starting attack. So somebody said it well. I think it was Jeremiah O'Shan said online, it's really good to see these guys back. They looked great. They did not look sharp. Fitness is there. The sharpness is not. That sharpness can only come with more playing time, which fitness is required for. So, you know, they get a couple of these types of matches under their belt. They get a nice week-long rest between this 3-1 victory over New York before they go play in New Jersey against New York next week. I think that I'm hoping that just that week allows the team to get more sharpness in training, actually playing together, and get another match under their belts.
Yeah, it's weird. There could easily be another MLS match this weekend to help get them some minutes on the pitch or whatever, but also it's like beneficial to have more time off again. So it's like I'm kind of split between the two mindsets that I want these guys out there, you know, not just scrimmaging, but actually getting time on the field.
Well, and on top of that, we're dealing with injuries to Nuhu, to Yamar, and wanting to get those guys back on the pitch.
Yeah.
And all of this is, like, we haven't even said Leo Chu's name once in this entire conversation. Obed Vargas, who got some minutes last night as well, like, these are guys that can help out this attack and can plug in when Rui Diaz and whoever else is dropping off for whatever injury or whatever, you know, national team time away that's going to come up this season. Like, the Sounders have the depth that a lot of other teams are going to, like, Will Bruin even. Like, this Sounders attack can be ridiculous. I think that sharpness needs to happen, but the fitness has to come first.
I think part of the problem is that, again, you don't see Rui Diaz with a ton of touches.
Yeah.
And so, like, once they... God, that guy out your window is killing me. It's amazing. Like, I've been watching him the whole... He's been there the whole time. It's so crazy. There's just a man that's... There's like a window in the very corner of Brandon's shot here.
And do you want me to get him on? Should I see what Josh thinks about?
Hey, Josh, just hold that out. Hold the microphone out the window and be like, what do you think of them Sounders? And he'd be like, football's for he would not say football, though, obviously.
Yeah.
It's called soccer.
Actually, Josh is a very enlightened individual for a contractor working in Spokane. I enjoy chatting with him and hanging out with him. So,
This segment brought to you by Josh. Do we got any of that Josh money? Is that a...
is he making as much as Laurie money? How many new who's do you make, Josh?
Does he know any turd nerds? Like, can we...
Dude, that dude probably does know the turd nerds.
Similar industry. Yeah. I'm curious to see what happens when you start... When you get Jordan out on the... Bombing down the sides, and when you start, like... Not that the Sounders didn't do it in this CONCACAF match, but, like, when the defenses have to account for old school three at the front, like AYSO soccer, where you're playing like three fullbacks, three halfbacks, and three forwards, and you've got Rui Diaz at the top of that, and with a Rusnak and a Ladero being able to weave stuff in, gosh, man, that's gonna be something. I think that he's in for potentially a good season if he gets his fitness.
We'll talk about the amount of the lack of touches that Rui Diaz got in the match. The one that sticks out to me, because I'm sitting here trying to remember, like, he had a couple clear-cut chances that he should have put away. But the one touch that I remember from the match was that ridiculous cross to a from the outside, because he was playing on the outside so he could get it more involved in the match. He had that ridiculous cross to the center where it looked like it was just a bad cross until all of a sudden a sprinting Jordan Morris appeared in the middle and was able to get a header on goal, which was saved, I believe. It didn't go in. I don't remember. I think it was on target. But a beautiful, beautiful cross from him that it's nice to see that if he's not scoring goals, he can contribute other ways.
I feel so dumb. I thought you meant his new tattoo cross.
His new cross. Maybe that's... Dude, Sounders... Wait, what's that out of here?
Oh, no. Come on now. No.
It's a new neck tat. Maybe that's what's keeping him down. Man, we both have tattoos, and I'm pretty sure that one of the takeaways after a tattoo appointment is that you're not supposed to do any sort of heavy, strenuous workout or lifting after you get new ink on your body. And so maybe that's what Raul Ruiz Diaz is worried about, is that he has this new neck tat, and...
Just taking it easy.
He's just trying to take it easy because he gets too veiny in that old neck, then he's going to just start spurting out in the shape of whatever Dios mío saying that he has on his neck.
You do it. You say spurting out, and then you do a little hand signal, and then the spurt out goes to your contractor's head.
Oh.
it's like, just spurt it out right onto Josh.
Yeah. Yeah, he's all right. Don't worry.
Okay, so next week on a Wednesday, Seattle Sounders FC on a plane to New Jersey, probably via Newark. And not to the Big Apple, but instead to the dirty stem.
Little Apple? What's it? Not to the Big Apple, but to the small pair.
To the compost. To the compost heap
yeah.
of New Jersey.
Yeah.
There are parts of New Jersey that I'm sure are lovely. But so the joke there is that NYCFC, because of the Major League Baseball season starting, NYCFC can't play at their home stadium because of a conflict with the MLB. In Seattle, we would just do whatever we needed to take care of the Seahawks and then leave everyone else stranded with it. Or what? Like, no, we're going to leave the uprights in. Sorry. Like, if you want to play here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there will be a match on the road. Instead, they'll be at Red Bull Arena instead of the home of the Yankees, right?
Is that right? Yeah, so they play at Yankee Stadium primarily. They've been in this huge situation trying to find a location in the city, of New York, in order to build a stadium.
Yeah.
Apparently that's really hard. And what they're doing instead is that they're playing at their rivals' stadium. And one of the things that New York City had on New York Red Bulls for the longest time was that they actually played in New York City, where the New York Red Bulls, who call themselves the New York Red Bulls, are more like the New Jersey Red Bulls.
Do you think that's a New York issue, or like the team's issue, or do you think that Red Bull was unwilling to sponsor a team out of New Jersey?
I think you're calling
it New York, or we're not doing this.
It's like the Jets. Don't the Jets play in New Jersey as well? I think it's just like it's still like, even the part of New Jersey that they're playing in like the greater New York metropolitan area, right? It's like me saying that I'm from Seattle, even though I'm from Maple Valley. You know,
it's East Rutherford, New Jersey. But the New York Jets and the New York Giants play at MetLife, right?
Oh, I thought just
don't they?
I don't know. It would make sense to me. Now, I'm not gonna like.
Yeah, MetLife. Yeah, they share it.
I'm not going to try to like disparage a team too much for stadium issues, because like the Sounders famously had terrible turf for a match once because Amazon held a Quidditch tournament there the night before. We have been to a playoff match where a car show made it so that you couldn't use half of the concourse. So like the Sounders literally hosted motocross like a week ago, or Lumen Field literally hosted motocross like a week or two ago. So like it's far be it from me to say that your stadium issues are worse than ours.
But hold on though. We're also talking the baseline for this though is that NYCFC plays in the outfield of Yankee Stadium is it technically square on the corners, or is it a trapezoid?
It's like when you watch an MLS match versus going and watching any other match, like in the Premier League or something. Like the size of the pitch is roughly, it's always the same length roughly, but different widths and usually much wider in international play and in most other international leagues,
like baseball.
Just like baseball, there's some conforming parts of the field and then some not conforming parts. New York City FC probably has the narrowest pitch that isn't played on some mountainside in Tibet, like in the world.
Yeah, there's kids that play like without shoes in like a place behind the factory that have like a bigger surface to play on than NYCFC. I'm surprised that they can't play at like MetLife or something like that. I don't know any of the details about it.
I don't know why they don't play at like a local college stadium, or play at like a large, you know, like the Sounders, I imagine, if
behind
something
a factory
similar,
in with no shoes.
There you go. I feel like if something similar were to happen to the Sounders, they would just find a way to just beef up Starfire or just sell less tickets. Like it sucks, but you're going to go play somewhere like Starfire. You're going to go play.
I think the Sounders could also knock on the door of the Huskies and be like, hey, can we come use
that's
that?
That's a great call. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not going to go play in Portland. They're not going to go play in Vancouver.
You'll play at PSU.
Yeah. like... go all the way to Portland, but play at the college stadium there and not the MLS stadium that they have.
Where does Seattle U play? Do they play on campus?
Seattle,
I think they do.
They might. They could. I mean, the Sounders could realistically also go in and play at Memorial Stadium or something.
Yeah.
So
that would
be
awesome.
I think the turf condition is something that you have to think about with wherever you go play. I think Memorial Stadium might not make the cut there.
Listen, you're telling the guy that suggested they play in the dirt without shoes behind a factory. Okay, like,
well, yeah, these are not considerations. Not turf, I'm so you don't have about. To worry about the turf condition. Anyway, I think that I'm surprised that they don't go and like play at Rutgers or go play at NYU or some other team, right? I don't know. You go to the closest.
Does NYU have a facility? I don't even know.
I don't know anything about New York.
There?
I've never been there.
What?
No, I've been to New York once. I've just never been to any like.
We actually did this podcast while you were in New York one time from your hotel room.
Yeah, we did. Ask Lori Money. She's been to New York a lot, right?
Okay. Yeah, we'll ask Lori Big Money. Yeah. What her? I almost said Big Lori Money, but she would not go for that. She's a tiny little thing. So
she's a really little person.
New York City FC versus Seattle Sounders FC Wednesday, 6 p.m. The Sounders are up 1-3 from New York's perspective.
That was 3-1 a weird way to say that, yeah.
In the aggregate. Well, when they play at New York, the score is 1-3, so it's. But whatever, it's a 3-1 series right now, and so we need to see. You'll need to see just a decent, either a decent a defensive performance from Seattle, or just like a balls out attacking performance. Which, based on the last 40 minutes of talking, it seems like that could be a really good potential.
Would you prefer to see the Sounders go for a shutout and prevent? So New York City got the away goal. So do the Sounders go for the shutout, try to defend and protect themselves because the only way that New York can go through is by scoring two goals? Or do you try to see the Sounders go try to get their away goal so that the only way that New York can win is to score three or more?
Yeah, I don't give a crap about the CONCACAF Champions League. It doesn't matter to me at all. So I am all in. 50 goals, like just go for it. Like,
I don't care if it ends 50-48. If the Sounders are on the 50 side, great.
Yeah, I just want Rui Diaz to come alive. I want Seattle to use this as an opportunity to like run some weird offenses or to figure out where the players fit together. They obviously are prioritizing it much differently than I am. Yeah. But like, just go, man, get it. Just like get some goals and let's see what happens. And like, if you get a lead, then sub out some guys. Let's see some other guys get some time. Let's see Will Bruin put a couple in, you know, or get hurt for the 600th time. Yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah. I think personally, I'll take the Sounders going for it because traditionally when they try to batten down the defense and keep a team from scoring, that's usually when they give up the goals. So
that's when you get a finger wag from Arriaga and a red card and three penalties and do me a favor. Do me a favor, take a look into your crystal Pepsi ball, swirling effervescence, and tell me, what do you see for NYC FC versus Seattle Sounders FC? Seattle Sounders.
Gosh.
There's a place that my buddy used to go to called Seattle's Sounders. There we go.
Yeah.
For Wednesday, 6 p.m. on the 13th. What do you see the NYCFC Seattle Sounders matchup?
Oh gosh, the C is just like stuck in my head now. Like I feel like I'm just going to start saying C. I think the Sounders will go in and try to attack. I don't see them being able to keep a clean sheet with the defense the way that it's been. I'm going to say Sounders 1, New York City 1, which means that the Sounders do advance on aggregate. Don't even need away goals at that point.
Okay, I'm going to say that. It's going to look real good for Seattle. It'll be they'll be leading 3-1 again going into the second half, and they'll actually walk away with a 3-2 final in Seattle's favor.
Wow.
I'll
be terrified, and my heart will probably do like a 3 p.m. coffee when Gregor drinks it.
Oh, like today?
Yeah.
All right. Well, in case this podcast was just too long and you didn't listen, it's too long, didn't listen. Too long, didn't listen, Brandon.
Too long, didn't listen. Lori makes more money than Gregor.
I have to go to the taxes, which I don't do because she handles them. So, you know, because of Lori Big Money.
Because Lori Big Money. She actually needs to do the taxes. Too long, didn't listen.
We have 5 superstars on this team right now, and maybe 6. Maybe if you add both Roldans, and if you bring in a new who, this is the best Sounder squad that I can think of in a long time.
It's crazy good.
Yeah. How about you, Brandon? Too long didn't listen.
Too long didn't listen. Brian Schmetzer needs to hit the gym before he dances in his tidy whities.
What do we say, Dad Bod Schmetz 69?
Yeah, Daddy Bod.
Daddy Bod.
Or Daddy Guns? Daddy... Was it Daddy Guns?
Yeah, Daddy Guns.
Daddy Guns 69.